I think it's on now. So thank you everyone for joining us today for our first of two Ask Me Anything sessions with the GIST program. My name's Catherine. I'm like the lead alumni mentor of our alumni program. Some of you might have spoken with Drew in the past, or me, or we have two other alumni mentors, Kareem and Ani. So we're here, Drew's here today to share some experience and answer any questions that people have. So thank you, Drew. We do have two questions that came in advance. And then if people have questions you want to ask chat or ask out loud, that would be awesome. So we will start it off with question number one, which I can't find.
I think it's about the resume.
Yes. Okay. Perfect. So first question, do you have any advice on how to format a resume or examples of keywords to include?
Yeah, I have great advice on that, actually, because I have gone through the process of having people ignore my resume and then reformatting it and not being ignored anymore. So I think I have some advice for that. I can show you, let's see. I don't know if I can share my screen. I can try though. Yeah, I can totally do that. I think if I share Google Chrome, I think everyone can maybe see this old resume of mine. Is that showing up?
Yeah, it's showing up. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, cool. So I think the first thing I like to kind of ask people to consider is making their resume one page. The reason for this is because a lot of recruiters at various companies you might be applying to, or people who might be looking at your resume on LinkedIn, they'll just kind of glance through it. They're probably looking through a lot of resumes and looking for certain skills to, you know, fit the bill for whatever job needs to be hired for. And making it as easy as possible for those people to find the information they need is, I think, key to getting a callback and getting, you know, a foot in the door. So what I did in this one, and I don't know when I made this, mine's changed a bit since then, or since this has been written. But the basic kind of tenets of resume writing are here, where my summary is pretty short. I think mine now is a little bit longer, maybe three lines tops, something like that. But this whole skills section here, where it's just bullet points and then just keywords, that's huge. That really made a difference between not getting callbacks and getting callbacks and getting them rather quickly. I think this kind of summary here is sometimes all the recruiters are looking for. And if they need more, you know, I've got this whole section down here, which is outlining my experience at specific jobs. So yeah, it looks like this was actually written like 3 years ago. So since then I've had more experience in programming centric jobs, but this is my old kind of GIS programming resume. Yeah, any questions about this right off the bat?
I have a question.
Yeah.
I'm an older student, so I kind of transferred over after working 25 years in a totally different field. Mm-hmm. And so whereas my resume is very deep, there is no experience as far as GIS goes on. Mm-hmm. What would you suggest to someone like me?
I haven't had that experience, but I have kind of pivoted my career a bit as well. Like I started in GIS and went into programming. I think that putting the skill sets that are relevant to the job you're applying for kind of towards the top of the resume is actually, it might sound kind of, I don't know. It might sound like it's not a super secret strategy or something like that. But it seems to work for me. You know, when I started applying to programming jobs for Python backend engineer and things like that, I didn't put my GIS experience at the top. I kind of buried that a little bit. And you can kind of see that with this like Python section right at the top of this programming skills header here. It just kind of outlines the stuff that I think is going to be relevant to the job I'm applying for. So I'd recommend just doing that. I think that the 25 years experience you have in the field or whatever other field you're working in, that's also relevant. People are going to look at that and say, you have soft skills that are needed to work with the team and that you have professional experience, which a lot of students don't have coming out of school. So there's definitely include that stuff too and highlight your strengths that came out of that field. But make sure that I think front and center is the stuff that's going to be specific to the jobs. And also sometimes that means tailoring the resume a bit from application to application. It just depends on what the jobs are looking for. So don't be afraid to tweak it and then make a new PDF before you ship it out.
Sure, that's excellent. Can you remind me commenting just a little bit? That's all that was excellent advice. We cover this topic in our capstone course. And just to add to what you're saying, Rico and everyone, if you are making a transition from one career from a different field, I highly encourage you to meet with career services and talk to them about how to add transferable skills to your resume and add that into addition what Drew said, but putting the skills that pertain to the job at the top as Drew did in his resume, that is key as well. But it's more of a challenge for that first position when you're making that transition, but there are ways to overcome that, and Drew just gave you a whole bunch of great ways. So,
here's a follow-up question. When you talk about that first position, I'm a professor or capstone class right now, and he's had to break up into smaller groups to discuss things, which is interesting on Zoom. But a lot of students I've noticed, and myself included, are a little nervous about what to expect once we finish the project and get out of the world. What are some things that employers are looking for from students who are fresh out of the program?
I can try to I can try to answer that. I think it's probably probably differs a bit from position to position, but I think this actually relates to the other question that came in via email this morning, which was, what sort of questions are you asked on in job interview, right out of school? And I think a lot of it is just like the basics of GIS. When I was interviewing for positions, I was literally being asked like GIS 101 type questions, like stuff I would have gotten out of a textbook or from a lesson or something like that. So, review the basics, I guess. I think employers want to make sure that you have a baseline set of skills for what needs to be done so that you can learn the specific things that are specific to the organization you're going to be working for. But there's stuff that they would hope that you know, and they don't have to teach you. And usually that's just like the stuff you learn in school. So right. Yeah, I'd review just a lot of the basics. Wayne, do you have any advice for that or knowledge of that?
I liked what you said, actually. But it's an incremental process. And as Drew said, that his resume has changed quite a bit just over the last few years. And especially what you said about customizing that resume for each position that you're applying to, I think that's absolute key. And I've been trying to encourage students to add some of the skills that pertain to the job at the top. So this is like a model. You just presented like a model resume that I would encourage students to do, but resumes are not our business so much, that and we have career services that can help you in that, help everyone in that regard available to you. So,
and feel free to email me if you have any questions or even want me to review a resume. I just had someone do that yesterday, actually, coincidentally. And I haven't spoken to her in probably like 6 months or so. She was one of the previous students in one of these courses. So, you know, we still keep in touch. She sends me her resume or a CV, which is basically an outline of all your experience on multiple pages. And she just asked me to kind of review it, see what I thought. I'm happy to do that for anyone. And I can also send you this and my current one. You can see how it's changed, if that helps. So yeah, a lot of options.
And I would also add that depending on where you're applying to, you definitely want to add key terms, because bigger companies, sometimes they just run resumes through like some sort of filtering like program where they're looking for resumes that have keywords and they like pluck those resumes out of a pile. So I work for Town of Penfield, and there's just a couple people in our HR department. So not so much at a small place like that, but at a place maybe even like Esri or another larger company, I'm sure that there's key things they're looking for. So definitely put your ArcGIS Pro, ArcGIS Online, all that stuff specifically.
Yeah, sometimes when it goes through the algorithm, it's just scanning for words. And yeah, definitely highlight all the stuff you see in the job description in your resume, if you feel comfortable doing that. The best story I heard about that, I don't know if this is true, is that someone uploaded a resume to like a site that for a job they were applying for, and they embedded in the metadata of the resume all the keywords, or maybe even millions of keywords that the job may have been looking for. So the algorithm picked up that this person is a perfect match. They have everything that we want and more. And it was just like, none of it was actually visible to the naked eye. So that's one way to do it as well. Hillary, I saw your hand was up. Did you have a question?
Hi, yeah. Hi, I do. So kind of going off of what Rico asked previously, I have a history degree and I'm in a sustainability studies certificate program. And I'm very interested in the GIS field, but I don't really know where to start. Do you have any suggestions on someone who's like completely new to this on how to get a foot in the door?
Are you taking any classes currently, GIS classes?
I'm in intro to GIS right now, and I'm thinking about pursuing the certificate program that MCC offers, so.
Yeah, actually, I kind of recommend that. I don't get paid by MCC to say that, so my recommendation is to actually, you know, do a certification program, but also take classes and get some experience with the technology that's used in GIS work to see if you like it. That's initially why I did it. And I really enjoyed making maps. I like the visual aspect of the technical work that I was doing. And I also had some programming chops that I was kind of applying to the field as well, or hoping to apply to the field. I didn't know exactly how at the time, but I just knew Python was important. So yeah, if it appeals, check it out. If it appeals to things that you like and skills that you have that you want to use, I say go for it. That's what I did. The other options are to maybe scour YouTube or even online learning sites like Udacity and there's other ones as well. I can't think of what they would be. Coursera.
Udemy, I think. Or is
that Udemy or something. Yeah, like those sorts of courses or sites rather sometimes have material on GIS or geospatial analysis, and those are probably a lot cheaper than taking a class at a university. You don't necessarily get the hands-on experience or the interaction with other students and professors and alumni like myself, but it can give you an outline of what you might be able to reasonably expect at those jobs. So I think exposure is the one word to sum all that up. So use all the resources you have to do that.
The GIS certificate program at MCC, one of the, which actually not to put Wayne on the spot, but he would have more info on this, but the capstone course, part of the course is actually having an internship, and it's been a virtual internship, but you still, through that, you get experience you can put on your resume, and it could lead to connections that maybe turn into a job. So if you're interested in the certificate program, I definitely recommend asking around with professors or even other students who've taken it. And one other thing is that there's a free, it's sort of like Intro GIS, which it sounds like you're in now. There's a free course through Pace University. That's just, it's a 12-week Intro GIS course that I'm actually doing right now because they have three tracks. It's all the same topics, but one is on QGIS, so you get some more experience with different GIS software. One is through ArcGIS Pro, which I'm needing to learn more, so that's been good. And then one is with ArcMap, which is like the older version, but that's totally free, and it's just through Google Classroom. So if you are interested in that, I could send you the professor's email address who's running it and see when she's running it again. So lots of-
I'd be interested in that.
I would really appreciate that.
Okay, yeah, I'll send it. Actually, while Drew's answering the next question, I will find it and I'll send it in the chat. we do have another question in the chat. How can GIS benefit the real estate industry? This person is a property manager and they're wondering how to include GIS in their resume through that.
Yeah, good question. Real estate's pretty interesting right now because it's so expensive and doesn't seem to be getting less expensive anytime soon. So I don't know if GIS would necessarily play into that aspect of it. But I'm sure that anyone who's thinking of building a house might be able to use GIS to figure out where the best place to do that is. I don't know much about building houses or like, you know, how to investigate the foundation that you're going to build the house on, but I feel like if I was going to embark on that journey, I would want as much info as possible about where I'm building. So I guess maybe any data you can gather on the exact location that you're planning on building a house or interested in doing that. And I don't know, maybe figuring out I have a colleague who she goes to various construction sites, I believe, and she looks for evidence of basically past civilizations. Like she looks for tools and such that may have been left there. And if she finds evidence of that stuff, she can sort of put a case together to argue that this is a site that really shouldn't be touched and should be studied and preserved as much as possible. So, you know, the GIS is used in her field to figure out where real estate can be placed, I guess. So that's one way to get into it. She works for the state doing that. And I don't know much about it beyond that. So does anyone here have any advice for how GIS might be able to maybe help someone with a real estate job or even buying a house or something like that?
It could show accessibility to school districts, to shopping centers, to work or different things that way. So you could, as a real estate agent, you can also see if you're on a floodplain or anything like that. You could check out the land, make sure that there's no environmental problems going on with the land. And then as far as socially goes, you can see how the person who's buying the real estate can interact within the rest of their community, how it can be useful, that position.
Yeah, that's excellent.
I had a student in my Digital Earth class who was building a business in real estate, and he did his project looking at how GIS works in connection with the real estate field, and he found a whole host of information. So I just suggest you Google real estate and GIS, and I'll see if I can find one of the sites he was working on. I'll throw it in the chat if I can find it, but the name is escaping me. It's been a few years, but a couple of years.
Yeah, to piggyback too, I just was looking at random jobs, and I found someone that was looking for an analyst, and their primary job as a realtor was finding like landlocked properties that are not accessible because people own what's around it, and they're just prospecting for easement. So they're like using your GIS skills to say, hey, this is another person to approach about, I want to buy the land that's behind you, or I have clients that are looking for this type of land. Can we work out some type of deal? And like, you would be the expert to facilitate that.
Yeah, strategizing where and what to buy, and maybe even when. That's actually a good use of that as well, probably. Yeah,
I just found a link that said just search for real estate GIS data. Mm-hmm. And Esri has a product called GIS for real estate.
Of course.
They have a product for almost anything, but they actually have a nice overview of, if you just do that search and Esri site comes towards the top, they have a pretty good overview of how real estate and GIS work together. So they've already thought of that.
Yeah, they beat us to it. Yeah. I didn't work on that team at Esri, so I don't know much about it.
Wow.
Do we have any other questions, Catherine? I wasn't sure if any more came in via email or chat or what, but I'm happy to answer stuff live too.
Not yet, but yeah, if people are just kind of digesting all the information and think of questions, feel free to throw them in chat or ask out loud.
I have a question. Yes, before I started this class, I had no idea about this GIS, and I found it very interesting, and I started liking it. I am doing business administration, so you guys mentioned the certificate program. Like, if I want to go in this field, because this is something I like, would the certificate be enough, or I have to get a bachelor's on GIS, like to get a job in this field?
I might not actually be the best person to answer that. I think that the certificate is valuable, but I like Esri, I think, looks for bachelor's degrees for most of their positions, whether it's in GIS or not. I don't know anyone who only had a certificate when I worked there. I had a minor in computer science, but I also had a bachelor's degree on top of that. So, I don't know, Wayne or Catherine or anyone else, do you have any ideas about that?
Go ahead, Catherine.
I was just going to say, I think it depends on the employer.
Mm-hmm.
I work for a town in New York, so it's through civil service. So there you have to have either a bachelor's or a certificate with X years of experience, or high school diploma with even more experience. So there it's not required. But then, like Drew said, there's other jobs where it's like it says right there, bachelor's in XYZ. I would say it just depends on what job you're applying to, but the certificate program is like, I think if you already have a degree, the certificate is really valuable because then it just builds on knowledge you already have. Like you already went to college, you have all that general education experience and project work and all that, but then the certificate really hones in on the GIS piece. But yeah, I think it just depends. But Wayne, what do you think?
Well said. Well said.
Thank you.
It really depends on the job that you're applying for. But some employers local to Rochester have recognized our certificate program and hired people with just the certificate program because they recognize the strength of our program. So it all depends where you're looking and what position you're looking for. We like to say that that what we offer at MCC in geography department and with GIS is stackable. So we have the certificate program. We have the we have a new associate's of applied science degree that's brand new this year. Plus we have a three course sequence that we call a micro credential that includes Python and geospatial data acquisition and management. So managing data as well as a web mapping course. And so if you said, I can't catch your first name. Sorry.
Zana.
So you said do you have a business degree or are you working on a business degree right now?
No, I'm working on the business degree right now. So I actually started liking this class. So I'm thinking of changing it because it's interesting. And I feel like, you know, now this is needed because I was looking for jobs and there were so many jobs. So I was like, you know, instead of just doing business, maybe I'm thinking of switching to GIS. But this program you just mentioned, is it online or I have to go to?
Our goal with all of our courses is to have them all online. In fact, most of them right now are online.
Okay.
COVID kind of sped that process up a little bit, but it depends on where you are and you're in working on your business degree. If you've just begun into it, and maybe you want to switch to something else. But if you're well into the program, the certificate can be, as we say, it's stackable. You can add it to another degree, and that combination is also very powerful. In fact, business. I've yet to find a field that GIS doesn't go well with.
Yeah.
But business and GIS is a great combination as well. So it kind of depends on what you want to do, beyond the academic world, what direction you want to go. And, speak to any of the professors in our program and talk more about that and our alumni, of course.
and use your contacts too. It's great that all these programs exist and certificates and such. But like Wayne said, some local businesses have hired people with just certificates simply because they knew the strength of the program. I'm going to guess also because they know some of the people who are teaching the program or involved in it. And when you use your contacts that way, when you sort of tell people, I'm looking for a job, let me know if you hear about anything. They'll tend to recommend you as soon as they hear about something. So sometimes it's all about who you know. It's not all about that, but it helps. Yeah. So there's advantages to just making acquaintances in this field.
Thank you, guys.
I have a question about Python.
Yeah.
So I know nothing about Python. I just heard Professor Howard talk about this micro-credential where you kind of go into the data, kind of the nuts and bolts of what's going on in programming and whatnot. Mm-hmm. How important or, essential do you think that is when, and for someone who's just trying to, get their foot into the GIS store?
How essential is it to learn Python, or how essential is it to understand more the underlying mechanics of programming languages and such?
How useful is it, and how much do employers look for that in a candidate?
Yeah, absolutely. It does depend on the job description. If they're looking specifically for someone who has some programming experience because the job requires it, that's obviously important. Sometimes jobs are just looking for a bit of exposure, though. They say, we think we have some workflows that can be automated. We're interested in doing that. We don't have a formal programmer hired yet, but if you have some experience, that is a plus. That's an advantage to having you join the team. So I do think it acts a lot as a icing on the cake in that sense, mm-hmm. where having that skill is, it's like, I don't know if this is always true, but if it comes to, hiring two people and one person has Python and the other doesn't, they might just go with the Python person with the Python exposure. I don't know if that's really true or not, and I don't want to sort of spread that rumor, I guess. It's the future, right? Like, it's, I mean, it's here now, but it's, programming is just everywhere when computers are involved, and they're heavily involved with GIS work. So it certainly doesn't hurt to have it. Having said that, we get this question a lot. In the past year, I've talked to Catherine about it and other TAs and other students, and it's not required to learn Python or be proficient at programming to get a job in the GIS field. So I don't want to give the impression that you absolutely have to have it or else you're never going to be able to compete in this field. That's just not true. And I think Catherine, I think, used herself as an example of that, if I'm not mistaken. I think Catherine, have you worked with Python as of yet?
Briefly.
You're right, okay. And you're doing great. So
yeah, I think it's the same answer as like the, do you need a bachelor's degree or not to work in the GIS field, or it just depends. So my job is very not Python oriented. I'm sure there's things I could do to help me have things run a little faster or smoother if I knew Python and made a couple tools, but my job, it's really not necessary and no one's really ever asked about it. But then in other jobs I've seen where people know Python and they've been able to make tools that really just make the quality of the work life so much easier and better because they knew that Python and were able to make those tools. So yeah, it really just depends, but it's not going anywhere. It's just going to become more and more like integrated with GIS. So if you have the opportunity to take Professor Howard's new class, I would strongly recommend it. I'll be taking it next spring.
I just would like to add that the three courses that we added in the micro-credential, the reason we added those courses, the micro-credential we put together for people that are already working in the field. Maybe they don't have the time or the desire to go back and get a full degree, but they're taking three courses. And what we added to that micro-credential are three courses that are in high demand. And Rico, but you don't have to take it as a micro-credential. If you're already in the certificate program or in the associate's AAS degree, you can take it as an elective, any of those three courses as an elective. So that's what we refer to as it being stackable. You can take different components of the program depending on what direction you're coming from or what your background is.
But for someone like me who's trying to get out in the field, I can get out in the field and then maybe take one of these courses, next course in over a year, year and a half, get this micro credential in on my resume.
Right, but you're working on the certificate now, correct? Because you're in the capstone class. I would assume so.
Right. I expect to have it by spring, so I'm ready to get back in the work world.
Right, and you can still, and that's what we offer it as a micro-credential. Once you, even if you graduate from a certificate program, we have several students who have stayed on and decided to add the micro-credential onto their certificate. So, cool. That's what we mean by stackable. So,
thank you.
Yeah, I would also want to add that you should try the programming stuff at some point if you're interested in it. And you might not like it. It's tough. It can be really hard. Using it for GIS is great because you're usually making simple scripts that will that kind of mimic what you're already doing without programming. So you have a very clear sort of trajectory of what you need to program. And there's usually examples online or in books about that. But you might not like programming. It might just be a headache. So it's important to establish sort of where you want your career to go so that when employers say, hey, you know, would you be interested in doing some of this coding? You can say, no, I am not interested. I tried it. I hated it. And I really don't want to have to do this to make a living. That's important too. Establishing what you want from your employer is just as important as establishing what they want from you. So.
And our course is focused on using Python and GIS. It's not a pure Python course, which I actually encourage people, if they're really getting into to take a pure Python course in addition to that, but we definitely covered some of the most important basics of Python, because you need to know that in order to make it work within ArcGIS Pro and other GIS applications. But and it's an introductory course. I think you will find at least even partway through the course whether it's for you or not. But continue, finish the course, and it's good to have in your background. Even if you don't use it much, at least you understand what people are talking about, and you may use it occasionally, or it just may get your foot in the door. So,
yeah, I second that advice. And there's all sorts of different programming too. Like, you might enjoy doing it for geospatial analysis. You might not enjoy it for web programming or making, the front end of a web app or something. So there's lots of different avenues for how to use those skills. And kind of getting segueing into the question I see in the chat, Ivana asked, do GIS skills help in the programming field? I would say probably not often, unless a GIS is involved with the projects that you're working on. we had one of my last jobs at a startup that I was at right when lockdown started. We had a meeting where somebody was showing off kind of a map that they had built that could be integrated with the app that the team was building, that the company was building. And I remember asking, can we change the base map of the app that you built? And everyone said, what are you talking about? it's like, oh, I get to teach you guys some GIS. And they're like, what is GIS? And I was just like, all right, I've lost this audience. It's not going to happen. But yeah, so just depends on the position and specifically what they're looking for. I would say it's probably... Esri hired a lot of people who had a GIS background and some experience in programming, or they hired programmers. So like for tech support where I started, they would bring in a lot of people with GIS degrees. And if you had some programming experience, they were like, this is great. We need you to help out with Python cases that customers are calling us with. And a lot of our analysts don't want to deal with Python, or they don't know it. And the questions are too complicated for them to answer. So I think when it comes to GIS, maybe getting that GIS foundation and then maybe a little bit of programming or a substantial amount of programming is good, but having that GIS foundation is probably super important.
Well, I will add that in our introductory course, we don't assume that you've had any programming experience whatsoever. So it does really start off at the very basic. So,
yeah. Any other? And if you did want to get some experience, definitely take those courses. Courses are like, they really help me out a lot. I don't know if John Alampi still works at MCC, but he was a really tough teacher who made me a much better programmer because of how tough he was, I don't know if I could have gotten the same education from like a YouTube video or something, but those are out there too if you wanted to, dabble and get a very light kind of coding of programming on your utility belt.
So Drew, that's a professor in the programming department, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he was the head of the programming department actually when I was there like 10 years ago or whatever, so.
I was just thinking I should communicate with them, actually.
Oh, yeah. I think George Fizikas is the guy who you have gotten in touch with. Yeah, okay.
I know him. I actually took the standard Python course at MCC. It was really good.
Oh, great. Yeah. That's awesome. I wish that was there when I was there. Yeah, that's really cool.
And it was a professor. What'd you say his name was?
John Alampi was the first one I mentioned.
And the second one that you mentioned, his name I can never pronounce.
Fizikas. Yeah.
Fizikas. It was somebody who was a colleague of his that was teaching. His name was Wes. I'm trying to think of his last name.
Oh, okay.
But it was a really good course. And in general, Python, having that foundation is, I don't expect anyone to have had any of that background into the introductory course. But if you've had that, it's certainly a plus. The good news is Python is pretty universal. And in if you've learned it in one area, it's helpful in other areas too. Do you agree with that, Drew?
Absolutely, and it's probably the easiest language to start with. It does a lot for you that languages like C and C++ make you do sort of manually. But this, you know, Python takes care of a lot of stuff kind of automatically, so you don't have to worry about that while you're learning and trying to get results. So it's a great introductory language, but also a robust and very mature production type language as well. So lots of cool stuff is made with Python.
Just thought of too that going back to taking courses at MCC or even free ones online, through your ArcGIS online account through MCC, you should be able to have access to a lot of the free ESRI courses. Some of them cost money, but I remember there being a free Python one on there that was like just a couple hours, like on a Saturday afternoon, you could go through the course or something. So I recommend looking into that too if you're interested.
Any other questions? We have another 15 minutes here.
Yeah, I kind of had a question. Will, what we've been kind of beat around the bush on, like that GIS and Python kind of work together. At least in my experience, it's nice to know. I know Rico was mentioning like how important is it. If you're at least familiar, a lot of times you'll get into a situation where if no one around you knows Python or no one around you understands that there might be a way easier way to do something you're doing, you'll dump a lot of hours into a project that even if you don't know how to do it, you might say, okay, I need to go on like Upwork, or I know this Python thing can help me do this better. So I need to find someone that can help me because it's going to just like make your life a lot easier. But that being said, are there any programs that you would recommend or things that you wish you learned sooner as you've progressed and like seeing like, okay, Python's very powerful for me. I wish I dug into that harder earlier on, or like I see you had like GeoPandas or like other Python adjacent stuff that you might recommend getting into that might be easier to learn in tandem.
Great question. I think the stuff I wish I knew early on was more of the, I guess, experience of coding. And I felt like I wasn't very good at it. I felt like I was very insecure about my programming skills, which is part of why I got into GIS, because I felt like I was running out of options. I looked at other programmers around me and I was like, these guys and girls are amazing at this stuff. And I'm not alone in some of the struggles that I have, and I'm certainly doing better than others in some of the assignments that we get. But when I would look at other people who were doing much better, I would say, why would they hire me over them? That sort of thing. That was a little short-sighted of me. That's not really, you know, there's a lot of jobs out there. There's a lot of programming positions out there. But in my little bubble in, you know, MCC at the time, and having not been in the professional world, I felt like I wasn't like worthy of some of the jobs that I wanted to get. And that's called imposter syndrome. And I didn't know that at the time. And it affects everybody, especially programmers, because you hear about so much in the programming field. And it's just that little voice in your head that tells you that you're not doing enough, learning enough, or performing well enough. But the truth is that programming is sometimes so difficult that it takes a long time to get what might seem like very little done. But the skill of being able to not listen to that voice or not give credence to that voice and struggle through the difficulties of learning a language while trying to implement a solution, that's a skill I really wish I had. I think I would have, I'm not sure if I would have gone into GIS, honestly, if I had conquered that at the time. I'm glad I did. I've met so many wonderful people my girlfriend works at Esri, so it's I'm really glad I met, you know, a lot of people that I ran into there and got into that field. But yeah, I was just so insecure about it. There's a lot of people who will talk about that online. Look for those people, air your grievances, tell people how you feel about that stuff. You're going to find that you're not alone. On a technical side of things I wish I knew, I think that when I got into GIS and started working at Esri, I just ramped up a lot of my Python learnings. So there wasn't anything that I kind of like felt like I had missed in school. But I think I just wished I had more common workflows that would be useful for all sorts of, like every project I was working on or every customer call I was getting from tech support. So just kind of going through like the books, I know Wayne, you designed your Python course with a particular book in mind from Esri. Going through that and just getting exposure to all the different tools that are available to you via Python, that's huge. If you understand how cursors work, you know, search cursor, update cursors, things like that, that's going to be used in like every single project that you work on. You're going to be iterating through tables because GIS is, you know, tabular. It uses tables. Being able to do that is like, that solves like 90% of a lot of the first problems you encounter with geospatial scripting. So yeah, just exposure. Just go through examples and textbooks. Go on to a GIS Stack Overflow. Look for Python scripts and try new things. Try to just automate things you're doing manually. See if it's possible. That's really gonna give you, I think, everything you need. You're not gonna feel like you're missing out.
Cool. The book that we use in class. Actually, almost any Python book I've ever picked up looks intimidating at first. And that's my primary goal with the course is, in fact, I had a Python and GIS book sitting on my bookshelf for 3 years, and I opened it a couple times, and before I delved into it, there's nothing like teaching a course to really have to. It's like, okay, I'm not going to be intimidated by this, and so. But applying it to GIS actually seems really natural in my mind once you get to it. And it's my whole purpose of the course is to get over that hump. We do use that book, but I supplement it with a lot of, as Drew said, examples out of the way to learn. So I supplement that book with a lot of examples. And we cover everything that Drew just said. Cursors we cover, being able to iterate through tables and text and CSV files. That we have a section and we're covering on that. So we try to, you can't cover everything in one semester. We try to cover all of the basic skills so that whatever you do beyond that, if you do something in Python and GIS beyond that, you can begin to learn on your own. And Drew just mentioned a great site, the GIS Stack Overflow, as well as GitHub, and any place you can find examples. That's the best way to look. Tell me if you agree or disagree, but I've already said this, but the best way to learn GIS is to look at existing code. Actually, the best way to learn is have a problem that you want to solve, which is why I assign a project in the course.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to solve a problem without, you know, having a set of instructions, you have to figure out. And looking at existing code, you don't have to recreate the wheel, but you're going to apply it differently to each problem that you try to solve. So,
yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And Wayne's right. I think project-based learning is probably the best way to go. Giving yourself a project, like saying, I want to solve this problem or automate this problem, or looking at something that is in a textbook that says, try to figure out how to, you know, make this happen. That stuff is great. I learned a lot by example when I started learning Python specifically. I was looking at a site that I was like, can I make video games in Python? And I just made little like text-based games and stuff. And And then I started tweaking them to like save people's scores and let them try to get higher scores and things like that. Taking code that already exists, tweaking it, learning how it works, and then building your own thing is a great way to go. It's hard to write something from scratch when you're just learning. So don't be afraid to use existing examples. There's no shame in that.
Drew, do you mind if I ask you a question?
Sure, go for it.
So have you dabbled it with Raspberry Pi at all?
I always talk about it, and I have one, and I haven't done anything with it.
It's kind of like the cobbler shoe thing. Like,
yeah, it's just like I was just talking about it 2 days ago. We're going on a group bike ride in Sacramento, and I was like, I should get a Raspberry Pi and program some crazy lights on my bike or something, or I should take the one out of storage that I have and program some cool light effects or something. But yeah, I have not. Have you dabbled with it at all?
No, I was just starting to. I was about to. I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
But if you don't know what Raspberry Pi is, it's just a small, like a computer and a small board. It's a really small device, and you can program it with Python. And it seems like a great way to do a fun Python project to learn type of thing.
Yeah, you get practical results out of it because you have a little machine that does what you told it to do. So you can do something as abstract to set up a web server, or you can do something as sort of hands-on as building a controller for like LED lights or something like that. There's all sorts of cool stuff you can do with those devices, and they're really inexpensive. They were pretty groundbreaking back in the day. I don't know if anything's really surpassed their versatility at this point, but yeah, I really should dust that thing off and make it do something. Any other questions? We still have a few minutes. Mm-hmm. I'll say, feel free to reach out to me via email if you have any questions after this. If you want help with your resume or cover letter, I have a pretty good template for cover letter writing as well. Happy to share all that stuff. I'm on LinkedIn if you want to just connect with me on there and have me available if something does come up. You can consider me a professional contact at this point too. So let me know if you have any questions while you're applying to jobs, working on Python, working on GIS. I'm here as a resource and happy to help.
I want to thank you, Drew, for this. It made you seem like a stupid chap, but I've got 2 pages of notes in my notebook. So it is very useful. And I really appreciate all the alumni coming back and encouraging us in our prospects.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. And I'm really glad it's helpful for you. I enjoy doing it.
Yeah, thank you, Drew. It's nice to finally have a chance to meet you.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much, Drew, for doing this, for taking time out, and for doing it in the morning since you're it's your morning. It's our
yeah.
So thank you, especially for that. And thank no problem. You, Professor Howard, for joining and all the students. It's so great to hear that people find these helpful. And please do take up Drew on that offer for resume writing or any sort of help or any of the alumni mentors. That's what we're here for. So please take advantage of it while you're in classes at MCC. And if there are no other questions, no questions in the chat, then we will conclude this first of 2 spring 2022 alumni Ask Me Anything sessions, and stay tuned for the next one. So thanks again, everyone.
Thanks
everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, Catherine, for hosting us too.
Yeah, thanks, Catherine. All right, have a great day, everybody. We'll see you.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye, man.